Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
And I believe it's for the body. And I saw somebody that he was looking down and he saw four ports on him, just four. There may have been five. But I saw all these little other places. It was like a computer room where all these wires were plugged into one place. But there was all these other ones behind him that he couldn't see. You know what that really ministered to me? And I believe it's for somebody here that you're believing God for some things in your life. And there's four places that you can see God moving, but there's places that you can't see him moving in. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't mean that he's not moving. It doesn't mean that he's not moving. I believe this. I mean, we may know of four, but I believe this. I believe there's thousands of areas in our life that we may not see the effects of it now, but God is disconnecting in places and reconnecting in other places. God is setting up things maybe three relationships away from you that are pulling apart and putting back together and pulling apart for the right place at the right time for such a time as this. Amen? You know why? Because that's just how good of a God that we serve. And so I believe that's for somebody here today that there may be three or four places that you see him working in, and you don't see him working in the area that you've been believing God for, but just because you don't see it doesn't mean he's not. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that he's not. I believe God is doing some places, doing some things that only he can do. Amen? Y'all believe that? Who's that word for this morning? Amen? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Let's stay standing for the reading of the word. It says, as Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him begging him for help and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed with intense and terrible tormenting pain. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority of higher rank, with soldiers subject to me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who were following him, I tell you truthfully, I have not found such great faith as this with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many Gentiles will come from east and west and will sit down to feast at the table and enjoy God's promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven because they accepted me as Savior. While the sons and heirs of the kingdom, the descendants of Abraham who will not recognize me as Messiah, will be thrown out into the outer darkness. In that place which is farthest removed from the kingdom, there will be weeping and sorrow and pain, and grinding of teeth in distress and anger. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was restored to health at that very hour. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for these families that are represented in this room. I pray for these dads that are inside of this room. And God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not only because of my flesh, but by the Spirit of God, that there is families that is in distress. I know that there are fathers that are laying in bed at night because of things, psychological, physical, spiritual, intellectual, hurts of healing that needs to take place. So Lord, I lift those families up to you. And God, today, as we talk to the dads and the men of God of the house, Lord, I pray that there would be something we take away from the text of this man who believed God for his servant. And there was no greater faith in all of Israel. So, Lord, I pray, God, faith is birthed in the room today. Not only to say it, but to believe it in their heart. Not only to say it, but to believe it in their heart. Not only to say it, but to believe it in their heart. God, do a miracle. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before you're seated this morning, say, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I believe God's going to do something big in your life today. All right. You may be seated. Look at the other person to you, next to you, and say, I'm sorry, I didn't look to you first. All right. We have great counseling, Pastor Michelle. She'd love to help you out. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all thank God for Pastor Michelle? Ain't she a blessing? I know that's right. Well, let me just go ahead and ask this question this morning, because I want to open the text here to a man who is known not just for the healing that took place in his life, but he's known, healing that came to his home, but he's known for the faith that he had. Let me ask you this morning, men and dads, how many of y'all want to be known for the faith that you have on the inside of you? I don't know about you, but in the workplace, I don't want to be known, known as the loudest dad at the baseball game or the wrestling match. I've already won those awards. Or the best at this or that, the best cook. I'm telling you, I think the greatest award that you can show to your kids is being a man of faith and being a man of God that not stands on the principles and teachings of what is pushed down your throat, but on the principles and teachings of the Word of God. And let me just ask you this question here this morning. Who needs healing or a miracle in their home? Let me just see right now a show of hands, all right? Dads, let me ask the dads this morning. Who here needs healing or a miracle done inside of their home? Let's just go ahead and be honest, all right? Very good. And it may be a psychological thing. It really may be a physical thing that needs physical healing in your body. It may be a spiritual thing. There may have been a disconnect because of a hurt. Maybe not that you did. All of these things. It may have not been something that you did, but something that happened to someone you love inside your family. A boy, I see it, that there has been a disconnect somewhere. I'm here to tell you, God heals not only the body, but he heals hearts. Amen? How many of y'all believe God is the healer of hearts? He'll take your heart of stone and he'll replace it with the heart of flesh. And there's many of you that are in here and you're testifying to the miracle of that in your life, how God turned you around and made you a different person. Thank God for the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so maybe it may be an intellectual thing. Maybe it's something that they have a deficiency there, because I hate the devil. Amen? Who else hates the devil? We can get in unity on that. Devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but God comes to give life and life more abundantly. And it may be an intellectual thing, and so I'm here to ask you this morning, maybe you need healing in your home or a miracle that you can honestly say doctors can't fix it. Psychologists can't fix it. There's places in your life, just like this Roman centurion, who was a man of great pride for his country. He had all the money. He had access to money. He had access to all the food. He had access to everything that he wanted or needed, but yet there was something that he couldn't fix. And guys, I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care how much of a macho man that you are, there are things in your life that you can't fix. And we live in a society today where the man is big and bad and he can do everything. He doesn't, I mean, who looks for, you know, I will go to my grave without stopping in somewhere and asking for instructions. Amen? Right? We put this, me and Noel put this pergola together from Sam's, and it came, you know, in 4 billion pieces to the house. And I did look at the instructions, some. And I do, hey, if any of y'all buy that one that's at Sam's, I do have some pieces left over if you need some extras. Come on. This is a moment of honesty right here. But you know what? Men, we have a pride about us. And you know what? Hey, I think there can be something that's good for that. There ought to be a confidence in you. But there ought to be a confidence that comes from this right here. And because when you're humble before the Lord and there's a humility that comes with that, I'm telling you, you cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. I'm telling you, your steps will be ordered of the Lord. And you'll conduct your home that way. But I look at the text here, and I want to point some things out before I get really into the meat of what I see in this guy here. And I'm going to show you that this really isn't just a centurion. This is a dad, according to Greek study that I did. But in verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. How many of y'all want to amaze Jesus? Hey, I don't know about you, but that's on the top 10 list. It does me great pride, honestly, when my dad is amazed at me because I have so much regard for him. Pastor Ty, the same way as a dad in my life, when I make him proud, when he's amazed, I'm telling you, it does something inside of our heart. And so, I don't know about you, but when I read this, and Jesus heard this, and we read what he was hearing, he was amazed and said to those who were following him, I tell you truthfully, I have not found such great faith with anyone in all of Israel. This word found here, listen to this. The Greek word, it means to find or to discover. It pictures a moment when one makes a surprising discovery, usually points to a discovery made due to any intense investigation, scientific study, or scholarly research. Isn't it something that Jesus was so amazed that he used the word in the Greek at the time of somebody like a scientist that I've searched the whole world looking for the right one to say the right thing and understand what faith is. So if we get with this man, and I believe there's some things we can take away from the text today, dads, of how you can be a man of faith over your home. Here is Jesus, and he said, using a scientific term. How many of y'all know scientists search their whole life for an answer in a particular thing, and sometimes they never find it, but they search high and low. Jesus is saying, I've searched high and low all over the kingdom, and I haven't found anyone who has understood faith like this. And then he goes on to say, I say to you, many Gentiles will come from east and west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But listen to this. He's saying Gentiles, people that are not of the lineage of Jesus. He's talking about Gentiles. Then he talks about the Jews. He says, while the sons and heirs of the kingdom, talking about kingdom people. He's talking about, in the sense of where we are here, people that know better, people that know the word, people who have sat in church, people who have been raised under the teachings of the word. He's talking about these people will not recognize me as Messiah, will be thrown into outer darkness. Goes back to say, many people call me Lord, Lord, but do not know me. Outer darkness in that place, which is the farthest removed from the kingdom, there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. There's something interesting that you need to know about this text. Outer darkness, lots of times we think about hell. But if the people that he's talking to, they understand what he's talking about. See, in Greek culture at this time, there was an outer wall all the way around the city. And that city was to keep out the lions and tigers and bears. Let's try it again. Lions and tigers and bears. Okay. It's trying to keep out all the predators trying to come into the city. And there was lions. In fact, I read many studying this text, many saying that outside that wall there is where they would throw their garbage over the hill. And so there would be lions that come in the night. And they would go through all of that stuff. And if a man went to court, and whether or not the judge knew that he was guilty or innocent, the final test would be to bound him and throw him over the wall. And the next morning, if he came up and still, if he came up, that's where they would know whether or not he was guilty. Or even just throwing him over there would give him a chance to come clean of his guilt. And in this text right here, Jesus is saying, those that know the kingdom, they don't even understand faith. And they're like the people that are thrown over and live at such a place of fear that they lose their teeth because of all their surroundings. Get this morning. He's talking about people that are even in the house of God and in the church that are so overwhelmed by fear. They're like the person on the outer sense of the wall that is so gripped. These are people that are in the kingdom, so gripped by fear in their life that they lose out on life. Are you guys getting the picture this morning? I don't know about you. I want to amaze Jesus in my faith and not amaze him in the fear in my life. Come on, how many of y'all want to be people that amaze Jesus in your faith and not amaze him at the fear that's gripped your life? Because how many of y'all know the world's going to throw you over the edge? We walk by faith and not by sight. And then it goes on to say, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you have believed. Get that in your heart, believed. And the servant was restored to health at that very hour. So I want to talk about in the text what I see here of some things about this centurion that amazed Jesus but also brought healing into his home. Centurion, you need to know this. A centurion would be a commander of 100 people. It's where we get the word 100, so 100 years. It's commander of 100 Roman soldiers. And we also need to know this about the text, is where it takes place is in Capernaum. It's the road there that got in and out of the city. It's the Via Maris Road. It's where lots of trading took place. That's where Jesus fed the 5,000 along that road. And taxes were done there. This is where he met Matthew. And so this was a very influential community, people traveling from the east and the west. It was definitely a place where business was conducted. And so because of that, Romans were there. And there was lots of soldiers that were trying to keep order. Because how many of y'all know you need military to keep order? How many of y'all know we need officers to keep order? We ought to give all of our officers... Come on, all of our servicemen, let's give them a hand. Thank God for them. Praise God for sheriffs, for Paul Blart's, security men, sorry, right? Thank God for all of those guys that keep order. And so here is this man. You need to get this. I hope you get the picture of this morning. Here is this centurion. He is the leader of over 100 people inside a very influential place. He has soldiers that are under him. In fact, we said he's a man under authority, so he understands authority. And so he is at a place where he doesn't know the answer, and so he comes to Jesus here. The Bible says beseeching. Beseeching means this, to plead with someone by appealing to them. The change means continually beseeching, or it means this, a word of prayer. So get this in your attention. Here is a guy that is, in essence, to all the Jews, he is a pagan because he is a Roman. He doesn't believe, his beliefs spiritually are not the same as theirs. He is over them. He has authority over all the people, not only over all the people, but 100 people are under him. And he comes to Jesus, who is not a part of his culture, who is not, in fact, this is someone that they're totally against. And the Bible says this man drops his pride and he comes to Jesus and recognizes him as Lord. Can I tell you this morning, you want a miracle in your home? Jesus ought to be Lord inside of your home. I'm going to say that again. You need a miracle in your home in every area. Is he Lord over the TV? Come on. Is he Lord over the radio? Is he Lord over the refrigerator? Come on, somebody got that. Are you hearing me out this morning? He recognizes him as Lord, as the absolute master. But this is the most amazing thing about the text to me. Is the word servant here is the word pious. And the word pious is a boy that would be at the age of puberty. In fact, it means this, pious. You can look it up inside of your strongest of Strong's concordance. But it also means son. So this isn't just a man of authority. This is a dad who's coming. And why is that so important? And why is it, see, I'm trying to paint a picture here. Why is Jesus saying there's no greater faith that I've seen in all of Israel than I see inside of this Roman centurion? Because here's a man in the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, they believe this, that once you sign up for the military, 25 years before you could marry. 25 years. So it meant this, that he wasn't going to have any children for 25 years until he was out of the service. Because they believed this, if they had a kid, a family at home, they would always be wanting to go back, and so they would not be good on the battlefield. They also, you need to know this about the Roman Empire, their lineage was everything. Their kids, not the things they left to their kids, but everything to them was their children and their offspring. So get this. Here is a man who is breaking the rules, for one, to even come to Jesus. But number two, he's not only letting out that he has an illegitimate child with a woman that they know is against the rules, but he's not only letting Jesus know it, he's letting everybody in the island know it. I'm telling you, you want great faith? You want a miracle done in your home? You not only give Jesus just an hour on Sunday morning, you tell him all your secrets. You let go of the things, you know, that you have hidden in the dark, the things that you've done throughout the week. I'm telling you, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. You want a miracle done in your home? You give him everything. Are you hearing me this morning? So many times we put Jesus in the box. Hey, you can have Sunday morning. But I'm telling you, he wants your Sunday afternoon and your Sunday night as well. He wants your Monday morning and your Monday afternoon and your Monday night as well. Are you getting the picture this morning? Here's a guy who not only dropped all of his pride in his nation and let all these men, these 100 men that are under him, but all these people that are under his authority as well, he let it all out because he came to a place he didn't care what people thought about him. He only cared what the Lord could do. Can I tell you something, dads? Can I tell you something? You want a miracle done in your home? Don't worry about what other people think about you. Think about what the Word of God says. You want to be a man of God of your home? You want to have healing and a miracle done? Do what only he can do and wow the Lord and amaze the Lord. I'm telling you, give everything to him. Give it all to him. So this child was illegitimate. This man was a pagan. You know, isn't it sad that Jesus sees bigger faith on a pagan than he even did a Jew? I'm telling you, I saw it this last year. I saw bigger faith in pagans than I did even in a believer. How many of y'all want to wow the Lord? Amaze the Lord. So let's look at some things right here. There's four things that I see that this man did. Verse 5, and Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came into him, begging him. The first thing is this, is his position. His position. Everybody say his position. Does your position reflect a man of great faith? I'm going to ask it one more time. Does your position reflect a man of great faith? Isn't it sad when a pagan here gets this over a believer? Position is key. How many times on the wrestling mat you hear coaches, position, position, position. In the arena, ropers, position, position, position. Soccer, position, position, position. You need to be at the right place, having the right angle. A couple of weeks ago, we ate a meal one night, and I could tell I had something wrong with my tooth. Another day goes by, man, it was sore. Next day goes by, it was really sore. So then I stopped by Walgreens, and I realized that I had a piece of beef jerky stuck in my teeth. And I'm telling you, it was very little. It was very, very small. But you know what it did? It caused so much pain in my gums. How many of y'all have ever had this happen before? Where you have something, Pastor Brandy did it with popcorn years ago, and I mean, it nearly crippled her because it was so, it just felt like there was a boulder inside of my mouth. And so I got one of those toothpicks, you know, with the floss on the end, and I pulled it right out. Had me a little tasty treat afterwards. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm really not kidding. I can't lie in the house of God. So, no, I really did. Eads. It was Eads. It was hot. It was really good the second time. I'm not even going to lie. But, you know, I got to thinking about this. It's the little things, Dad, that can get you out of position. It's the little things that will bring pain in your life. It's the little things. that you think, oh, it's not that big deal. Oh, it's just one time. Oh, it's, you know, hey, it's just a show. You know, it's amazing how, you know, I shoe in barns all the time. And so lots of times music will be on inside the barn. And there's this song by Luke Combs. And long neck, ice cold. Hey, don't be singing it. But listen, I came home and that song, I'm watering the plants and I'm singing long neck, ice cold beer. Now, is that really something I ought to be singing? Lord have mercy, no. No. And you know what? It's the little things like that. See, if you're not careful, what comes out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if I'm not careful, and I don't care how much of a man of God you are, if you get out of position just a little bit, you'll begin to think on it. As you begin to think on it, you'll begin to live on it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You may think that it's a little thing, but I'm telling you, it's not a little thing. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If you leave right here to go to Dalhart, Texas in an airplane and you're 1 degree off, you will end up somewhere in New Mexico. Are you hearing me? It's so important that we live lives, dads, to be in position with him. And you know, there's another thing that I see here. He didn't send his wife. Nobody got that over there. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Dads, if you want a miracle in your home, don't send your wife to prayer. Man of God, you be in prayer. Come on. He didn't send his wife to the night of worship. He went to the night of worship. He didn't send his wife to do the spiritual things. Oh, you know, I'll do the other things. No, if you're going to be a man of God and there's going to be a miracle inside of your house, you need to step up to the plate, buddy, and be the man of God God has called you to be. Hey, if a Roman centurion, a man of pride, can drop it for a miracle in his home, I believe somebody who's here on every Sunday morning can step up to the plate and be who God called them to be. Are you guys getting something out of the word this morning? I love the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And his leader here, he begins to communicate to the people of how they're going to come against the Ammonites, the Termites, the Gabusites. I made that one up. But there's people that he's coming against, right? Well, they've come against him. And God gives him specific instruction on how to be in position to come against the enemy. But listen to the word of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20:17, Amplified. It says, you need not fight in this battle. Take your position. English Standard Version says, hold your position. Can I tell you, dads? Hold your position. Hold your position. It goes on, stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Number one, his position. Number two, his posture. Look at your neighbor and say, his posture. His posture, he was begging him. He dropped his pride as a Roman authority. I'm going to ask you this question, men. Does your posture reflect a man of great faith? Meaning your attitude. Your posture outside of this building, is your posture outside of here, does it reflect a man of great faith? In worship, do you drop what other people think about you and say, you know what, this ain't about them, this is about you, God? You know, it did me such a good heart yesterday at camp. Noel, he had Ketch on his shoulders. Noel had his hands raised, and so did Ketch. My boy Anson, he had his hands raised as well. You know why? Because they see their daddy with his hands raised. Dad, I don't know who you're trying to impress, but let's impress the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about a wow faith to God. Worship, word. I tell you another thing that blessed me yesterday was the guy who spoke at camp. Luke, you remember him? Wasn't he amazing? He drew and all that. And my boy Anson, I hadn't seen him for a couple days, so I went there, and they were standing around, a bunch of boys. And the guy came, Dad, and he said, Dad, that's the pastor. He said, but I'd really like for you to speak. He said, in fact, ask him what he's speaking on, and I'm sure you know the story, and you can tell it. And you know what he told his buddies? You know why my dad knows this story? Because every day I see my daddy, and he reads the Word of God. You know what I'm telling? I'm telling you. That blesses my heart because you know what? Even me as a son, you know what I remember about my parents? I remember them studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. We get so, I don't have my phone on me, praise the Lord. But how many hours do you study Facebook? TikTok. I don't know what's on TikTok. Because I don't have TikTok. I'm preaching to Jesse right now. He loses 6 hours a day on TikTok, I promise you. There's so many distractions that can take you from some things. So we're sitting in the service yesterday, and the guy said, open your Bibles to Judges chapter 13. And he goes, Dad, do you know what story this is? I said, yeah, it's the story of Samson. And he looked at the boy next to him, and he said, see, I told you my daddy knows. Hey, I'm telling you, the reason I tell you that, there's nothing more prideful than giving your kids the Word of God. The Word of God. Come on, what is your posture in prayer? Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the hands of the righteous. I'm telling you, let's leave an inheritance to our kids. This man had faith, but there's something about him. He came begging. Let go of all of his secrets. A man of authority, a man of high ranking. I'm telling you, I'm looking across this crowd. There ain't nobody in higher ranking than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How's your posture? Here's the third thing that I also see about this. His speech. Don't stone me. Verse 6, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying. And saying, that word saying means this. He said it over and over and over and over and over. He said, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed with intense and terrible tormenting pain. King James says, grievously tormented. So it not only was physical pain, but it was a demonic thing. In verses 8 and 9, it says, but the centurion replied to him, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word. Look at your neighbor and say the word. Oh, I don't know about you. We say lots of things. But we need to say the word. There's things that I've memorized over time. Like last week, we talked about I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberated power in Jesus' name. How many of y'all are proud, washed by the blood, sanctified by the Spirit? I believe in the Holy Ghost, and I suggest that you do the same. Amen. But we have other things, you know, that we learn as well. But he said, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. See, he understands speech. And I'm here to tell you right now, not only your position will wow the Lord with your faith, your posture, but your speech. So I'm going to ask you this question, because he got it. He knew that he could move mountains with his voice. He didn't just do it. He believed it, because he saw it in action in his life. Let me ask you this, dads. Does your speech reflect a man of great faith? I'm talking when you leave here and get in the car with the children. Hello. I've seen you guys. I was in the golf cart today, out there picking people up and talking to people in the parking lot. I can tell that couple that just got done arguing. I'm not pointing any fingers. Praise the Lord. Somebody needs to testify right now. But listen, I've seen it. I've been there. Come on, let's just be honest. How many of y'all have ever argued on the way to church? All right, we got a bunch of liars in here. Praise the Lord. Let's set them free. Chad raised both hands. We'll pray for Danielle out there. But, yeah, I mean, it's been told to me before, you're going to go behind the pulpit with this attitude? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Am I too vulnerable for you guys, or am I just too, Lord have mercy? But does your speech reflect a man of great faith? He said it over and over and over. You know, there's things that we say over and over and over and over, but I want to ask you, the things that you're saying over and over and over, are they the Word of God? Are they the Word of God? You know, one thing in my home, like I said, I'm a one God apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, born again believer in the liberated power in Jesus' name. And yesterday, Addison is 15 years old. She drove home from Gigi and Pawpaw's house, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost the whole way home. I prayed in the Spirit. I was talking in tongues. She said, Dad, are you getting ready for tomorrow? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Praise the Lord. But you know what, my kids, they hear me pray in the Holy Ghost, not just on Saturdays. They hear me pray in the Spirit every day, all the time, all the time. I wanted to hear me. You know why? Because my dad taught me the same thing. Pastor Brandy's dad taught her the same thing. So when you're on a flight that's bumpy, just have Pastor Brandy with you. She will pray in the Holy Ghost on the intercom. I promise you that. Does your speech, hear me out, does your speech reflect a man of great faith? Does your speech, if you was to grade yourself on this last week in your car in traffic, has people in Amarillo lost their mind in driving? In traffic, let me ask you, does your speech reflect a man of great faith? We'll go ahead and get the moms in on this one. Moms. Yes, I am. I'm stirring the pot. It's what God's called me to do. Let me show you something in 1 Corinthians. Hey, if you haven't been coming on Wednesday night, the gifts of the Spirit, you need to come on Wednesday nights. Amen? So I'm telling you, all of this will help you when you get a dose of the ghost. All of this will help you, right? And so what I love in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, I thank my God always for you because of the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. This word grace is charis. This is actually a word that was used in pagan belief that when the gods would touch you with grace, like he did King Midas, and everything touched turned to gold with King Midas on the Phrygian mountains before it went down into Smyrna, they believed this. The pagans believed if you were touched by grace, everything you said and did was different than everyone else. In fact, it goes on to say, so that in everything you were enriched in him, there's an enriching power in the Spirit of God. The things you were P-O, you will be enriched in him. In all, look at it, it says speech. So I'm here to tell you right now, if the grace of God's on your life, you'll talk different and you'll act different. There's a greasy grace that's taught out there that says, by grace, I can talk however I want to, I can do whatever I want to. Listen, that is garbage, baloney, and not the Word of God. Can I get an amen out there? If the grace of God has touched your life, it will change the way you speak. It says in all speech and in all knowledge. You don't even think the same way when the grace of God touches you. Amen? Y'all getting something? So his position changed, his posture, his speech, and here's the last one. I'm going to ask the band to come forward at this time. His submission. Look at what he says in the King James. He says it. He said, I too am a man under authority, and I know how authority works. See, the only way you can be authoritative, you know, we can talk about authority up here. How many of y'all know you, I believe that there is an authority on the inside of you? I'm going to ask that one more time. How many of y'all believe there is an authority on the inside of you? There's an authority. There's been many times, I mean, just like that little boy when we prayed for him at the park. I believe when we touched him, I'm telling you, there was an authority that came with it. You remember that? It was powerful, wasn't it? It was powerful. And I'm telling you, there's authority. But the only way that you can really use authority in your life is if you're under authority. That's how it works. Only the one who is under authority will the authority work in them. I'm under authority. When I'm wrong, I'm out of hand, I promise you, the man of God and the woman of God on the front row, I'm submitted to them. But here I'm trying to talk to the dads this morning and tell you this. In James 4:7, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, now hear me out. I've been in the church long enough to hear him say, how was your day? Oh, I just been resisting the devil. I am resisting the devil. Can I give you a word of wisdom right now? You won't have to resist the devil as much if you just submit to God. Because lots of times we're resisting the devil on something boneheaded that we did or we created because we're not in submission to God. Are you hearing me? That's why he says it first, submit to God. And can I tell you, as you're submitting to the Lord, it just comes natural to resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you've got to be submitted. See, he understood it. I'm telling you, if we get anything from this dad, from this man of authority, this man of high ranking position and power, you need to see this, his position. Dads, I want to ask you this. Are you putting your kids in a position to hear from God? Are you getting them in the house of God? Are you in position at home? Come on, there's so many things that distract us and easily distract us from keeping us from even being here. It's summertime. I want to be at the lake. But you know what? I don't go to the lake on Sunday mornings. And it's not because I'm a preacher. It's because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Number two, your posture. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's put our posture in reverence to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His posture, he was beseeching, he was begging. Does your posture reflect a man who needs a miracle or healing inside of their home? What about your speech? Does your speech reflect? I'm not talking about on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about throughout the week. Does your speech reflect a man of faith, a man of God? The last one, are you submitted? Are you submitted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come on, somebody's going to get it this morning. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come on, one more time. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many is with me? Dads, who's with me this morning? We're going to submit to God. We're going to submit to the teachings of the Word of God. Come on, the greatest legacy that you can give your kids, Dad, is be in position with him. Be in posture with him. Not only say it, but believe it. And can I tell you this? You say it enough, you'll talk yourself into believing it. But I'm telling you, until you have revelation to believe it, really, that it does work, I'm telling you, you'll be able to say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea and not doubt in your heart. It'll be done for you. You want a miracle in your home? You got to have big faith. Dad, you want a miracle in your home? You got to let go of all those other things that are pulling you. Let go of your secrets. Forget about what people are going to think about you and give Jesus everything. One of the things in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, let go of the elementary beliefs of this world. But let us grab hold of something else. He talks about repentance and dead works. The second one is faith in God. He was talking about people that are still drinking from the bottle milk when you ought to be meat eaters at the end of chapter 5 of Hebrews chapter 5. And he gives six things, and I believe there's six things that people, he's talking about, this is milk, and one of the milk is this, faith in God. Not to have faith in anybody else, but to have it in God. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for lawyers. Thank God for those people of influence, right? But our faith needs to be in the Creator. Our faith needs to be in God. And until you get that, you will be a milk drinker the rest of your life. We got to have faith in Him. We got to have faith in Him. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room today, and you, Dad, if you're in this room, if you're in this room, and you're honest, you say, you know what, I'm out of position, I'm out of posture, I'm out of speech, and I'm out of submission. I'm going to ask it one more time. If you're a dad in this room, and you can say, you know what, I'm out of position, I'm out of posture, I'm out of speech, and I'm out of submission. If I'm talking to you, this is Dad's day right here. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. If I'm talking to you, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Lift your hand. And say, you know what, I'm out of position. I'm out of posture. My speech is off. And I'm not submitted. I see lots of vulnerable men with their hands raised right now. With their hands raised. Come on, keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised. If you're around somebody who has their hand raised, just put your hand on them and agree with them right now. God, we lift these dads up to you. Lord, that have lifted their hand and said, you know what? Things have been brought to my attention through the reading of the Word. And so, God, I pray by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, Lord, go to work right now. Lord, I pray that in everything and all they do, Lord, I just pray right now for a miracle to take place in their home. Lord, show yourself evident to them right now in Jesus' name. Show yourself evident to them, Lord, as they've been vulnerable and humble to lift their hand and say, you know what? My life's out of order. My life is out of order. But today, as I took the step, as I lifted my hand, Lord, I pray that right now a miracle goes forth. Show yourself evident. Do a miracle in their home. Do a healing in their home. Lord, I pray that these men who raise their hand, they seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto them. So God, work in their behalf. May their wives see them different. May their kids see them different. Oh, Lord, do what only you can do right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's another question I want to ask you this morning. If you're in here, you say you're away from the Lord. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Don't leave here without one. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come live on the inside of you. I believe today is your day. The Bible tells us he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. You may be out there and you're hurting. You're in pain. The Bible says cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. The Bible says that he will stick closer to you than any brother that you have. You may have family members that have given up on you. You may have loved ones that have never forgiven you of the thing that you did even years ago. But I'm here to tell you, God will forgive you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. There's just three things you have to do. You have to admit that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God. The Bible says sin separates us from God. And if you're out there, maybe you're in sin. Maybe there's some things that you've missed the mark. The second thing is this, you admit, you believe in your heart that he died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. You believe that there is resurrection power even for your spiritual life today. Here's the last thing, you confess him as Lord, just as the centurion servant did. Just as the centurion did for his servant, for his boy. Just as he did it, you can do it as well. Confess him as your Lord. He'll come live on the inside of you. So if you're in here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to pray that prayer. Maybe you're away from God. You're separated from Him right now. You want to come back to the land of the living. If that's you today, I want to invite you back into a relationship with Him. Today's your day. Right now is your moment. Miracle can happen in you. If that's you today, pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm separated from You. But this morning, I believe in my heart that You died, You were buried, and on the third day, You rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Make me new. I confess You as my Lord. From this day forward, I'll serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you in here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I prayed that prayer here on Father's Day. Maybe you're a dad out there that wants to leave a legacy. You're a children's children. Today's your moment. If that's you today, just lift your hand. Say, you know what, that's me. I'm coming back. I prayed that prayer. Praise God. All the dads are saved. Everybody's saved. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. You know, I picked on the dads today, but mamas, get in position. Mamas, how's your posture? How's your speech? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.